Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, once again, I have to give a disclaimer that I'm not editing as tightly as I normally do, so please forgive me, listeners.
Is it going to sound crazy?
Yeah, well, for one thing, I'm not going to bleep that you just said crazy.
Oh, God damn it. I'm sorry, everyone.
Sorry to the crazy community. Okay, here's the deal. I've been working over there at the SF MoMA.
Kate had a sign. Did you sign an NDA?
I signed something that said that I can't be disclosing secrets, industrial secrets.
There are no industrial secrets Kate's going to disclose, but she is going to tell us everything.
Okay, I'm open for questions.
Kate, what have you been doing over there at SFO? I keep seeing you post things. You got tape taped to you. You got like straight
covered in tape.
You're covered in tape and a razor blade. And you've got, the other day you showed me a picture of you and with fucking cashier's tape. I'm like, what's going on here? Is she going to work at a bank or what? Did you love it?
That was wild. Okay, well, I don't even understand how this happened to me, really, but I'm...
Because I connected you.
I know, but like...
Because I'm my best friend is basically Solo It. That's just how it is.
I know, but like, it wasn't... Sarah didn't ever contact me. I just got
Sarah contacted. Put your name, she said, yeah. Call this person.
Yeah. So it was like, in my world, it was just, I got it.
This is what we call connections.
Yes, connections.
Like 100%.
Let's say it together.
Connections.
We connected just then. Well, no, I know that, Maysoon, that you...
You don't know how you got into like where you are. You're okay, like, here's this is a different world than I'm ever used to, ever been exposed
well,
to.
Well, here's, in my world, here was a chain of events. Maysoon said, hey, would you want to do one of these SoloWit installs? And I was like, hell fucking yes, I would. That's fucking rad as fuck.
You weren't like that, actually.
Okay, I know what
you
I was like.
You were a little
I
bit more
like,
reserved.
I was scared. Because okay. I was like, are you sure I'm capable of doing this?
Right, and I was absolutely certain.
And you were
certain.
Like, I've done it. So it doesn't, you don't need any like really, really
I
tight.
Haven't done the boom boom tap tap ones that you guys are going to be doing. That seems scary to me. I just did a really tiny piece of it.
Uh-huh. So what? Okay, so but then I was like, yes, please, I'm interested.
You were interested. You definitely asked how much you were gonna get paid.
Oh fudge, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, but it's probably pretty decent.
Well, because part of it we're trying to control Maysoon's body. part of it was that I would have to take off from work for
right.
my other job.
So you needed to make sure it was actually worth it.
Well, but I knew it was going to be worth it.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. Put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it. But point is, I was interested. And then the next thing that happened in my world was that I get an email from SF MoMA saying, hey, are you good to do these dates and these times and such and such?
Was there ever like an invitation? Dear Kate, you've been recommended to participate or to be a crew member on the SoloWit installations at SF MoMA as part of this blah, blah, blah.
Not really.
Dates are these dates. Are you interested? Here's the pay.
No, it was just like, are you available?
Oh.
These dates.
So they already knew that you were like interested. They didn't even need to. There's no formal invitation.
No.
I don't love that.
Okay. The whole contracting process was a little haphazard. Like, I didn't get a contract until like a week or so before we started.
Yeah, weird.
Which was odd because I kept getting emails like, hey, we got the contract together. We're getting the contract. Well, I have a contract. You want Monday?
Because I think I mentioned it to you like months ago.
So just to be clear, there are these works that SoloWit made. Are you calling them Soul?
I do say Soul, but I think it's Saul.
Saul.
Like S-A-U-L
like,
sounding, even
like
though it's
going
S-O-L.
To Saul's deli over
but
in
but it's spelled like Soul as in Luna and Soul.
Mm-hmm. But he was not a Spanish speaker as
no,
far as I know.
No, he was not.
Unless he was.
He could have been.
Sure.
What do we know?
We don't know shit. So, but just, okay, for people that are like, what the fuck are you talking about? He made these works called wall drawings.
Yes.
Over 1,000 of these,
many.
I believe. They were conceptual artworks where the art is a set of instructions that kind of democratically cause an artwork to be made. Does that make sense?
I don't know about the democratic part of it.
I mean, that was kind of the idea, but then there's a contradiction now because the estate is kind of in charge of making legit, like, certified Solowit wall drawings.
Were they not certified when he was alive? They were certified.
Well, no, but then he was making, like, he was in charge of making them.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, he had a crew.
It's a contradictory situation. I've listened to Sarah. Okay, so Masoon's friend Sarah Heineman.
Correct.
Has been doing this for like 20 years.
Probably longer.
Yeah. And so I've seen like talks that she gave about doing it at different places. And she talks about the contradictory nature of, like, on one hand, they're kind of like instructions so anyone could go out and make these things. But, like, how it actually exists in the world now is you have to get these, like, certified installers, draftsmen, to come and make them if you're trying to make, like a museum or someone, a rich person's house or whatever.
Right.
A gallery. They were, the first one was done at Paula Cooper Gallery.
Yeah, Paula Cooper.
Mm-hmm. And
in New York.
So they're these big, often like colorful wall works that sometimes feel
very geometric, I would say.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes they feel like drawings because they're drawn in pencil or crayon. But the one we are working on is ink.
Yes.
These huge ink washes that you make with these kind of like pin cushion looking forms that you make out of like kind of crumpling and folding rags, like pieces of cloth.
Yeah.
And then we haven't even started this yet because we spent the last week preparing the wall.
The wall is it has to be very specific or, you know.
It's
an artwork. It has to be just so.
Yes. I mean, they're not fucking around.
Yeah.
So anyhow, maybe we'll get more.
And also the wall size changed, like, from what I think Sarah initially planned the drawing for.
Yeah.
So then she had to readjust the drawing to fit the wall, which is actually bigger than expected. A little bit bigger, right?
The planning of how it was going to be mapped out on the wall. So the one we're working on is a set of like triangles that join together and look like a pyramid.
Yes.
And
like a fan almost. I always think of them more like a fan, like a splayed.
Yeah, everybody thinks it looks like a fan. It is
where
that.
The apex is at the top?
Yeah.
Okay, oftentimes it's at the bottom and it sort of opens.
The point where all the triangles meet in a corner is at the top.
Okay, so it does look more like a pyramid,
this
one. And
it's bright colors, except one of the colors is kind of a deeper brown. And
he often uses a lot of kind of muted colors. Bright, but muted. Does that make sense?
No.
It can't make sense.
Bright, well, bright like light, like a lighter tone. I mean, the background is bright blue.
Bright blue.
There's a bright orange. There's a darker blue.
Is bright and muted, are they of the same? I'm not good with, like, the painting words.
Well, we
words.
Would say, like, chromatic intensity is, like, a muted color would be less chromatic.
Would have less color in it. Is that what that means?
Like, kind of. Okay, so how color works is,
yes,
you have,
please, let's
three
do this.
Ways of defining a color. You have hue, which is like, is it orange? Is it blue? Is it purple? Is it what? You know,
okay,
that kind of thing.
Okay, that's just the standard, the main
just, like,
color.
What color is it?
Field. Okay.
Then you have, often it's called value.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But we try to say tone because, like, to say that something's dark, like a lower value if it's darker, feels like racially fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm into tone. That sounds good. So how would you, what language do you use when you're using the word tone?
Or so tone is, is it lighter or darker?
Okay.
So you can have a light blue or a darker blue. But when you go away maybe from mid-tone blue, you might be muting the chromatic intensity. Mm. So chromatic intensity is like, how blue is the blue?
Right.
Is it kind of a gray blue, so it kind of doesn't have so much chromatic intensity?
Yeah.
Or is it like a bright, like, fucking slap you in the face with how blue it
Got
is
it.
Blue? So, like, you know, on a really, like...
I feel like his colors are a little bit muted. They're bright, but they're a little bit muted. I still feel the
exactly
same way.
Where we started.
Like, yeah. Like, if you look at that painting behind you...
Okay, we're looking at an abstract painting. We got greens, we got pinks, we got some other greens.
Like, I feel like that, I don't know, maybe now I'm confusing myself.
That's a pretty high chroma. It's like a pretty bright.
But like the orange at the bottom is fucking bright orange to me. But then the orange on the left side of the painting is more,
it's more muted.
It's still bright though to me.
Yeah, it's not
still
very
like,
different than that.
But it's muted. And I guess that's what I
okay,
mean.
Okay, let's look at this my plaid shirt.
Wait, you have to give us the third element of painting.
That's it. You have hue, you have
value,
tone, you have chroma.
And chroma. Okay, got it. Thank you. Whew. Mm-hmm. Are we looking at your shirt for talking about as an example of these values?
If you have no chroma, like if you have
is this no chroma? Was
yeah,
black
you're
a
wearing
no color?
A black shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know, gray, the grayscale from mm-hmm. white,
from
absolute
white to black.
White to black. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Those would be zero chroma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is what I learned in
I
art
love
school.
This. See, I wish I took this class in art school.
This would be color theory.
Yeah, I want the color theory. I guess I could still take that somewhere. Maybe City College has its color theory class for me.
Or like if you had like a basic composition or something like design, introductory design, something like that. We had to learn all these things.
I want something like that in the textile field also.
Okay.
Like,
you
what's an intro to
textiles?
Textiles kind of
You
got
to go to the Richmond Art Center for that. Okay, back on track.
Back on track.
We're going to talk to Sarah hopefully next week.
We'll be interviewing her.
So I don't know if we want to get into all the conceptual side of all this Solowit stuff. I gotta tell, can I just talk briefly about my experience so far?
Yeah, you can tell us about your, yeah.
Okay, so when I first talked about doing this on the show, I was having some ethical quandaries.
Were you? You never told me that.
Well, yeah, I did, because I was like, I sold my soul for rock and roll again to go fuck around with the Fisher family.
Oh.
And SF MoMA as an institution,
yeah,
we have
I
mixed
hear ya.
Feelings about. Okay, so I was coming into it with a little bit of like guarded jadedness about institutions.
Okay. Maybe that's what I was picking up from you.
Yeah. And so, but then once you get in the museum, there's all these like connotations that it brings. We come in through this like back door and we're
only all the staff go in that way, just
yes.
FYI.
And but we are relegated to only the floors that where we can store our lunch and go to the bathroom and where we can work on our work.
What are those floors?
We can go to 10, we can go to 5, and we can go to 1. We're not allowed to wander around the museum.
Okay. Well, you can go to the second floor is public.
I know. I had one day where I went out the entry that we go in and walked around to the front of the building and came in like a visitor. Mm-hmm. And I went to the free floors and I don't know, man. I'm like having a weird experience with it. Like, you know, I was telling my friend, I was like, oh, I'm doing this thing and I have weird mixed feelings about it because I want to do it and it's a really cool opportunity that mm-hmm. I wouldn't ever want to pass up. But I'm also like doing this like reinstall of the Fisher collection, which I think is kind of disgusting.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
That a rich family just like, you know, gave all this money to the museum to basically turn it into a private museum where they can just show their shit.
It's also just a 99-year loan. It's yeah, not even like they gave the collection to the museum to preserve it and use it as they will. It's like there's all these stipulations to the loan. Just really fucking weird.
It's
to me.
Bizarre, and we didn't like that when it happened. And
no,
we don't like it now. Okay, but I was telling my friend, and I was like, "Oh, I'm doing this shit for the Fisher family," and she was like, "No, you're doing it for Solowit."
Oh, that's cute.
And I was like, God, that kind of like pulls on my heartstrings.
Aww.
Because I don't know. There's something once you get in there, and you're like this. These wall works have this history and this tradition, and you're kind of like breathing life into something from someone who's passed away and like keeping him alive. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm tearing up now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And like that the museum does that. The museum keeps things alive,
yeah.
Even though we feel like, oh, well, once it's in a museum, it's dead.
It's dead. Right.
But like then I go down and I'm in one of the galleries and I see a painting by my teacher, Hung Lu, who also died tragically, mm-hmm. and that also made me want to cry. And I started rereading some of Andrea Fraser's writings. She has an essay. Maybe I'll play a little bit of it.
Oh,
she has there's an incredible reading that she did of it, and she's crying the whole time. It's called Why Does Fred Sandbach's Work Make Me Cry?
Oh, yeah, okay.
We are all here members of the artistic field. We carry, each of us, this institution inside ourselves. There's a museum here inside of me with the Corinthian columns, the grand staircase, and the mezzanine. There's a system of organization, the way I see things. There are objects and images, and there are texts, and there are voices explaining. There's an archive that also contains our memories, and there's a basement where we keep the things we don't want to show. Just as art cannot exist outside of the field of art, I cannot exist outside of the field of art, at least not as an artist. And this is also the limit of institutional critique. I can attack those internal objects. I can rip at the walls of my institutional body, but I can't tear it down completely, and I can't leave it, because then I would not only cease to have an effect within the field, I would also cease to exist.
And like Fred Sandbeck is like right there in the mix with Saul LeWitt of making these like very minimal conceptual works.
Yeah.
And anyhow, I'm like going through it, Maysoon. I'm riding the rainbow on this thing in my mind. And then meanwhile, I'm like going through this whole conceptual fucking labyrinth of emotions in my mind. And then when once we're actually doing the labor of making this thing, it's like very like straightforward, hard labor.
Wow.
Like you're in there painting with the roller, like climbing up the scaffold, like. And I'm terrified of the fucking scaffold. I've gone to the
You're
top
just
of
going,
it like
you
twice.
You have?
Like twice.
I thought you were going to do it. You can stay at the mid-level.
I'm so scared of it. You know, and you're like moving ladders around. You're like carrying buckets. And, you know, it's not like very intellectual work for the little Oompa Loompas like me there. One of the other Oompa Loompas said this, called us Oompa Loompas. I think
that's
so
and now
fun.
It's like it's set.
Yeah. And like it's very bonding with the other people is like, because you're like in each other's space. You're like passing a pencil from one person to another to
that's
draw a line.
Cool.
It's like we're one body at points.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really strange. You're doing this conceptual work, but you're like, it's fully in the body. And
I wonder if Saul was aware of that. Well, Sarah and I were talking about scale of his work. Like, did he ever make anything kind of tiny?
Did he?
And she said, yeah, he has done drawings that were like quite small, but you know, you can obviously scale them. And I think at this point, they're mostly primarily known as wall, like large wall works.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder if he, I don't.
And he did like architectural things. Like the first time I ever saw his work was he had a part, like he designed part of, or like he did, maybe he designed the whole building. I don't know. He has an installation thing on the outside of the Wexner Center in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I ever saw his work was in college when I was in Columbus, Ohio.
Ohio.
Woo woo.
Ooh, ooh. So Sarah started working on these projects when Saul was still alive.
Yeah.
So I imagine she actually did some work with him, like, and you know, I don't know how old he was, like if she was actually able to do it with him or if she was just, he was in a room kind of thing. But I wonder, like, that is interesting to me, like the pencil being drawn by, like you're passing it along to the next person. So you are really intimate and like becoming very close to all these people. I wonder if he was like aware of that aspect of the work and like intentionally kind of creating those moments, you know?
Yeah.
And if not, it's beautiful that those moments are sort of like a, what's the word? Not a repercussion of the work, but a...
Oh, consequence?
Consequence kind of, that sounds kind of, yeah, basically of the work.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we'll get more into it with Sarah when we have her on the show, but that's just been my experience so far, is I've just been like freaking the fuck out.
Kate's been having lots of questions.
And I've been like so afraid that I'm ruining everything while I'm doing it. I'm so anxious.
Well, what's funny is that Sarah was saying like everyone will fuck up. Uh-huh. The once you start putting the ink on.
Oh, God.
She was just saying it's just a really hard part of the process.
Uh-huh.
But you get through it. You'll get through it to like the point where like the final work looks beautiful and the fuck ups are covered and managed,
no,
you know?
Doesn't make me feel better. She hasn't had me on them.
Kate, you're a painter. You'll be fine. I know I wonder if this will influence how you paint.
I hope so.
That'll be so interesting to check in about.
It definitely like makes things feel more possible, like working in larger scale.
Or like working with a fucking rag in your hand and a razor blade.
You have a razor blade like taped to your shirt so you have easy access to it
and
all
what
the
do you,
time.
What are you using the razor blade for?
All kinds of stuff. You're like scraping like little boogers off the wall from like weird shit on the paint roller. You're like cutting tape. You're like, you do all kinds of stuff with the razor.
And why can't you cut the tape with your hands like most people do?
Like rip it?
Yeah.
No. Tape has to have a nice clean edge.
But why?
Because everything is just so, it really is. It's intense. You cut everything with a straight edge on it.
So the cashier's tape also cut with the razor?
Uh-huh.
It's really wild.
It's intense.
Very specific.
You make these little tape tabs. You make little arrows out of the tape, to out of the blue tape, to point at little dots. You like, you know, to draw out the triangles. You're using string, like perfect lines, and you mark the, you make little dots
with, along the string.
Uh-huh. And then you point arrows at the dots, and then you connect the dots with the straight edge. And it's like the process is
unreal. Do you need the tape and the dots? It seems like excess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you need to point at the dots because the dots are extremely
because you can't see the dots.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just mad SF Mom was being so uptight about you guys being there.
They really ride us.
Because I was like, my whole plan was like, cool, Sarah's going to be here for 5-6 weeks. I'm going to pop in at the museum every Saturday and say hey and bring cute little snacks to the whole crew.
And we're not even allowed to have snacks.
You're not allowed to have snacks. No one's allowed to have guests, not even like the lead.
Yeah.
The lead folks, which is four of them. And I was like, well, what the hell is that? I want to come poke in.
I wish you could.
Because I think like Lacey's kid is coming to town and she can't even bring her kid in to see the what they're working on.
Their little like 12-year-old kid? Mm-hmm. Aw.
And probably same with me, and same probably when Sarah's family comes to town, which is like, guys, get a grip. These are all professional artists. Like, they know not to touch anything. Like, everyone knows.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's annoying. It makes me feel like something bad must have happened.
Oh.
Something bad must have happened. We're like, oh, now we got to be strict.
I don't know anything about that.
Or maybe it's like the Fisher Collection specifically.
Ooh.
That has like a whole other list of stipulations and rules for.
I think it's the whole museum.
Probably. I don't remember when I worked there so long ago and for such a short period of time. I was like in and out. Hello, goodbye. And I was in the galleries all the fucking time, but not. I would never walk through an install. I would never have the like audacity to do that just because it's like, it's not my business.
People
like,
are
I
really
don't want to get in people's way.
Hustling and
Yeah. You just stay out of people's way. Totally. You guys, some of the crew got yelled at for going down to the coffee shop.
Well, people got trapped, basically.
Because their badge didn't work in the elevator or something?
Right.
Oh. Yeah,
because we only have access to our little places.
So you only have 1, 5, and 10.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good, nice and even.
Yes.
It feels very symmetrical.
It does.
10th floor is nice. Do you guys sit out on the rooftop?
Yeah.
It's great up there.
Have lunch up there.
Yeah, that's where the kitchen is for the SFOMA staff.
Yeah. I keep being really gay. I'm like really gaying out at people.
Good.
Because they were.
Gay it up.
Some of the LA people were talking about going to Hunky Jesus. And I'm like, oh, you got to go to Hunky Jesus. It's like drag and
are
wild.
Are we already in Easter?
Yeah,
what's
dude.
Happening?
It's this month.
It is?
Yeah.
They got to dress like up if they go to Hunky Jesus. They can't be wearing their LA clothes to Hunky Jesus and Dolo. When is Hunky Jesus? Am I going to miss it? I think I'm missing it.
You bastard.
Bastard. When is it?
I think it's the 18th or something.
Oh, I'm going to be here on the 18th.
Oh, really?
We leave on the 21st.
Yay. Wait, you don't leave until the 21st? I thought this was happening in like no time.
No, I leave on the... Oh, God, Hunky Jesus on the 18th? We got to bring Clementine.
Cute.
She'll fucking love it.
Yay.
Will she love it? Well, we'll
try. It's gay, right? She's kind of gay, right?
She's queer, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Cute.
That's good. I keep gaying out at everybody and I'm like, am I alienating people? Am I like making gayness my whole personality? But I'm like, hey,
I think you do want everyone to be gay secretly.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Well, not in a bad way.
Well, I don't want to change anybody. But
yeah,
like,
you do.
If I had new people in my life, like if I could say right now, every single person I meet from now until I die
is going
to be gay, I would be like, that sounds good.
Oh, you would be so happy.
But like, you know, I'd say most of my friends are straight.
Well, you can't leave me.
That sad? Most of my friends are straight.
I was just thinking, I was like, is Kate surrounding herself with straight? Why are you surrounding yourself with straight people?
I
mean,
don't
we
know.
Love you, but you know. I mean, I love you.
I need to be more in community.
You've got gay
Wait,
people.
Don't say that the other people don't love me.
I didn't say that.
You said we love you, and then you said I love you. But I
just
I
felt like I shouldn't be
we.
Speaking for
no,
the
please
we.
Please speak for
because
the we.
I'm really just an I.
Now you're
here.
Making me think everybody hates me.
We all love you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Everyone, delete your AI apps. Fuck those
are
motherfuckers.
Are people using AI?
I think some folks, even in the art world, are using ChatGPT to get some shit done. Huh. Get rid of it.
Is it going to become totally ubiquitous?
I think it's going to fucking crash and burn.
Really? Speak on it.
I just think it's going to crash and burn.
Well, say more.
I think there was already a prediction of like an AI bust.
Oh, you mean like investments and whatnot?
Yeah, which will crash and burn the fucking companies.
I don't know, man.
And now there's this tie with AI and the military.
Yeah, opening.
And I think people are learning about that and are feeling very conflicted.
That's
or just
been big news.
Downright disgusted and hopefully are removing, I guess it's an app. I don't know. I have never touched it and I will never touch it.
Yeah. Will you though?
No, me?
Because you use Google.
I'm about to get off. I'm
off
going
Google?
To Proton. I'm already on DuckDuckGo.
Okay.
Mason
really
way
lives
out.
Her values.
I'm working my way. It's a slow process, but I am trying.
Mm-hmm. When are we going into the fucking Unabomber shack?
I'm not going into the Unabomber shack. I won't be that person.
Good. That was a test and you passed because we would never condone violence of any kind.
I thought you meant like, you know, the world's coming to an end. Let's leave. You know how people are escapists? They want to like,
well, no, I mean like
flee the country.
We need to, I mean, to completely disentangle ourselves from every system of oppression, we would have to leave society.
Yeah, that's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
But I feel very strongly that divesting is a really big deal. Like, don't spend your money in these fucking corporations that are bombing your neighbors and your families and people you don't know but care about, you know?
Yes.
Like, just stop.
Yes.
Stop spending your money that way.
Do what you can, people.
Like, I'm sorry if it becomes a little bit inconvenient, but like, there was a time when we didn't have half of these places. Well, I guess if you're a young person, maybe you never knew that time, but it was possible in the past. We can recreate that or we can do that again.
Yeah. I love that.
Do you think we should get Samsung phones instead of iPhones?
Well, I don't know that Samsung's any better, but
because I'm kind
we
of
could
like
just stop using phones.
Yeah, I've already taped up my camera.
Whoa, I didn't know about this.
Because I read this article or this whatever on Instagram article, I can't remember, I posted it, that basically there's technology now that is looking at your like whisper face.
So say
like,
what?
Like if you're working on something and your brain, your face is moving in a way, like maybe you're mouthing like what you're typing or you're thinking out loud in a way, the cameras are watching your face and are using that for AI to like train AI. And I was like,
what?
Fuck you. I don't want you. I'm not participating in AI. It's hard, right? Like, of course, I imagine this phone is recording me right now, right? Like, it's not on airplane mode.
This is going down a rabbit hole here.
It's a rabbit hole. Well, they're trying to fucking steal
to
our lifeblood.
Uh-huh.
You know?
They are.
And I just feel like I follow a few really amazing, like, tech experts. They're like tech experts, but also like, don't be careful.
They're critics.
Very critical. Yeah. They're so smart. I love them to pieces.
Uh-huh. Maybe send me some info.
I'll
and
send
I'll
you
put
some
it
links.
In the underworld. But we also have to be careful with paranoia.
Sure.
Okay.
I may still have my phone.
Yes.
But I did tape. I rarely take selfies.
Yes.
So I don't really need. Is this the camera?
The front-facing camera.
I don't need that camera.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's just a piece of tape.
Yeah. No.
Although it's double layered.
Sure enough. Oh my God.
It is double layered just in case they've learned how to see through blue tape.
And we have friends that don't have smartphones.
Who?
Rollo.
Rollo, good on you. See, Rollo's not fucking around.
Yeah. And there's folks that have like that downgraded phone that are like phones that don't have apps and stuff. It's
like an
just
old
like
classic flip phone, like Nokia.
Yeah, but it's like more recently made, so it has still like.
I do like my apps is the problem.
Loving
you
it.
You know?
Loving
I
it.
I like my podcasts. I like.
You use Instagram quite a bit.
I do. I've been a little bit maybe too much lately. I think because ever since I got off TikTok. Are you still on TikTok? Do
you
I want to know?
Hell yeah, I'm on TikTok.
You are?
What? Why? What are we doing? Are we trying to go over to that one? Because it had too much porn on it.
It did have too much porn on it. I was very disturbed by that.
Yeah.
You're still on TikTok?
Wait, what's up with TikTok?
Bro.
Bro. Okay, fine.
You don't have to
leave. God, it brings me so much joy.
Me too. I'm depressed. I don't have any quick dance videos. I've got no more K-pop news. I've got nothing.
Well,
and Instagram doesn't... I lost all my...
Now I gotta edit.
You gotta edit that out.
Damn it,
I hated that I say that.
I'll bleep it.
I've got no dance videos. I've got no, very few cat videos now. I don't know where to find Cat Luminati. I love that guy.
Yep.
Have you known that guy?
Maybe YouTube. Did you try
that? He goes around to the neighborhoods and
Mason,
knows all the cats'
names. Mason, why do we need
names.
To get off TikTok? What was the problem?
Because it was sold to a Zionist. Oracle.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. He's trying to take over our entire... Now I sound like a lunatic. I'm not. He literally owns almost all of our media.
Yes.
Truly.
Yes. Well, but Instagram, Mark Zuckerberg.
I know. Fuck that guy, too.
Well, but then why yes to Instagram and no to TikTok?
I don't know. You know, I think I use Instagram to really see stuff on Palestine, like from the ground, people there.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was my way. Like I most, as you know, my posts are all about taking down the fucking systems.
Yes.
So I'm kind of like, fuck you, Zuckerberg. This is all I do here.
Yeah.
Whereas on TikTok, I was more just consuming entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just felt like there was a divide. There was a difference there.
Yeah.
Like I'm not using Instagram in the same way. I'm still there. Obviously, they're still making money off me from views and stuff. But
remember Tech Bros?
I never forgot Tech Bros.
Damn right.
Tarane Hamami, local artist, friend of the podcast, all around amazing person, started out of her studio in Minnesota Street Projects. So the artists in residence are basically using their studio and then have access to all the facilities at the studio building.
Yeah, they got kilns. They got it.
Yeah. Out. And then every Saturday, I believe it's every Saturday and maybe Sunday, the first Saturday of the month, there's an exhibition in the shared studio space in the building featuring one of the artists that was just recently in residence.
But they're having a big group show.
When does that open?
I thought you were going to this. I thought you were telling me about it.
I am just on the schedule, like the first Saturday of the month or something. That's what I'm going to. I don't know what I'm going to. I'm just going to show up and see what's happening.
Oh, it's called Ocknoon is the name of the show.
Ocknoon at Macan. So there's about 15 artists. Some of my favorites. Cool.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Celebration of second cohort of artists at Macan. So it's a group show.
Name every artist.
Naja Albushi, Nasib Elahimer, Pentea Karimi, Besma Khalif, Ava Kubur, Golbanu Mogadas, Kar Nazal, who I love. Do you know
we
Kar?
We love all these folks.
Well, but do you know Kar? Kar's a ceramicist. Uh-huh. And they made this beautiful teapot that has big eyes on it. And the water comes out of the eyes.
Oh, yes. I've seen that. Yeah.
It kills me. It's so fucking amazing.
Good Lord.
Beryl Orr, F.A. Osman, Nargis Porsadeki. Sorry, I don't know how to say the last name very well. Aaliyah Rezai. Sorry, I don't know some of these names. And then Shireen Tofiq. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is next weekend. Saturday, March 14th.
All right,
and March
we gave
21st.
Something in advance. High five!
Okay,
people can actually go.
Show at Macan next Saturday, March 14th and March 21st from 2 to 5 p.m. at Minnesota Street Projects Foundation Studios, 1240 Minnesota Street.
Can people have their openings later in the day so I can go, please? Okay, well, that's it from us, Maysoon.
Wait, I don't know if this is a group show.
For the love of God.
I don't know if this is a group show. This might just be announcing like the next round of artists.
It's a group show.
Okay, great. Delete it.
Deleted.
I do actually agree with you that people should have their openings on Saturdays run a little bit later because all galleries open until 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So have it from like 4 to 7, 5 to 7.
So the gallery
early
workers
evening.
Can go.
Yeah, because we want to go. Kate's missing her show.
Well, but then if they're all going later, then the gallery workers have to stay later. We need to stagger these things more. I don't know what the solution is. I just want the world to revolve around me. Please. When will it happen?
Well,
the world
like
will be so much better.
That sounds like an honest statement.
For me, anyway.
Did you learn that from Gottman? Really coming clean. You're really coming clean with yourself, Kate.
Yeah, it's Gottman all the way. Okay, Mason, we got to go ahead and say free Palestine and from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.